in a very happy mood, but with what's happening now, firstly in Palestine and now in Lebanon, with many of us here having family and friends who are being affected by what's happening in our beloved countries, it's very hard to come here with joy. It's very hard to come here and celebrate at a time like this, as I'm sure you're aware, especially with just by opening your phone and going through your feed, you see videos that horrify you and break your heart. And you see a world around you and a media around you that seemingly does not seem to care. In times like this, we of course connect to Sayyidina Zainab alayhi salam and remember her stance and her stand on the day of Ashura when she saw the absolute worst of things, her own brothers and family being killed and massacred in front of her, and still maintaining that patience and that faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, now that's what we see in Palestine and Lebanon. We see people who see in front of them their own family members being butchered, and the first thing they say is, Alhamdulillah, and we trust in Allah's will, and our faith is maintained. We see people being pulled out of rubble, making sure that they have wudu so they can still pray. We see people whose houses have been bombed behind them saying, you know, we don't argue with Allah's will. So faith is still a very important part of what's happening now. And some can argue that our faith has been strengthened by what we've seen. And the question I want to ask today is how our master and our living Imam, the Imam of our time, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten for your appearance, feels when he sees what we're seeing. Because we see these videos on our feed, but he hears us. He hears our heartbeats, he hears our cries. He hears the cries of those mothers who have their children and are pulling them out of the rubble. Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Second louder salawat, please. Our beloved Imam sees and hears the cries of mothers who've seen their children killed, of orphans. Think about orphans who have no one left to help them. Usually, when an orphan loses a mother or a father or even both, they have uncles, they have brothers, they have other family members. But we hear stories of those in Palestine who are completely being obliterated, family trees that are being obliterated. Imagine an orphan left behind with absolutely no one to help them. And it is in times like this that we ask our Imam that he is the one that comes and helps these orphans. And I ask my Imam, I tell him, are you not kept up at night, O Master, by hearing our cries? Are you not kept up at night, O Master, hearing our cries? Between the clouds you peer, as our days become night, and does grow, do our tombs, I ask you, will you return soon? The earth shrivels, wanting us gone, and yet still we cling to its edges, hanging on threads, and we're praying. The earth shrivels, wanting us gone, and yet we cling to its edges, hanging on threads, and we're praying. Do you see us, O Master, as our grip slips and we're almost falling? Does your hand reach out toward us who are still hoping? Or have you forgotten the cries of your children? Don't men forget with years? It's been over 1,000. By grief we're consumed. We see pictures of helpless souls and no helper. We see pictures of helpless souls and no helper. We see orphans left, not a family member. The world hates them. Tell me, were they born to just be murdered? The world, it's as if it hates them. Were they born to just be murdered? Who is left for those who have no more protector? Their brothers have been killed. Their uncle's blood spilled. No, there are no hands left for their hands to be held, and they live amongst doom. Are you not hope for the helpless? And how hopeless have we become? For us is no one, only distress. If we are not killed, then we are burned from flesh to flesh. If we are not killed, then we are burned from flesh to yes to less. What are we worth if our bodies are so meaningless? When we look to the sky,
we see bombs fall toward our eyes, and if they don't engulf us, then engulf us do cries.
Those that escape bombs, they still suffer, because after the bombs hit, they have to hear their family and their community screaming from the bombs that have hit them. When we look to the sky, bombs fall toward our eyes, and if they don't engulf us, then engulf us do cries. How death upon us looms, our faith is strong, there is no option other than faith. That is our path, to taste our blood and to love its taste. Our faith is strong, there is no option other than faith. That is our path, to taste our blood and love its taste. But though faith is endless, I ask you, let it not go to waste. Heed our heartbeat while hearts still beat. O Master, make haste. Would you return later when we've all been martyred? It is your will. Yes, yet your helpers will be fewer. How far is the noon? How you must weep. Months without sleep, hearing us weep. O Master, how you must weep. Months without sleep, hearing us. Which we walk, they want us swept, and thus they sweep. Our bodies are like leaves, and yet how much we believe. They see us as nothing, and yet here our souls grieve. Sorrow, our perfume, so I say, come back, O Master, for the days are over, and the nights have come. Come back, O Master, for the days are over and the nights have come. How many have loved you so deeply, and yet now they are gone? How many loved you so deeply, and yet now they are gone? Be there for us. Be there for us. We chant your name in praise and song, even in gasps, and our breaths last. Still, then, for you we long. Even in death, we still call you. The only love that's true. Return, O Master, because the hours left, they seem very few. How great are our wounds? Will you return soon? How great are our wounds? Will you return soon? And together, inshallah, we pray for the hastening of the reappearance of our beloved Savior and for the alleviation of the suffering of our brothers and sisters in Lebanon, in Palestine, and all over the world, inshallah. Salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Thank you, brother, for that beautiful recitation. Now, I would like to invite to the stage Sheikh Azhar Nasir. Sheikh Azhar Nasir is an Islamic researcher and speaker known for his dynamic and insightful approach to Islamic teachings. With a background in Islamic jurisprudence, theology, and ethics from the Islamic Seminary in Najaf, Sheikh Azhar has earned a reputation for his ability to communicate complex ideas in a clear and engaging manner. He has traveled extensively to deliver talks and seminars on a wide range of topics related to Islam and contemporary issues. Sheikh Azhar is also the co-founder of Tanseem Institute, which is an organization that focuses on the production of Islamic educational content in the form of crash courses, documentaries, and publications. Please help me in welcoming him with three loud salawat ala Muhammad and wa ali Muhammad.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. ولعنة الله على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'd like to begin by welcoming all of you who were absent yesterday because of the football game. I forgive you for your absence. So I want to continue our discussion that we began last night. And the topic that we were exploring was the topic of victory in Islam. Allah addresses the community of the believers. He says, إِن تَنصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. O you who believe, if you help God, God will help you, and He will firmly plant your feet. He will grant you steadfastness. Now, one of the most important conditions for us to receive the help of Allah, a condition that sometimes we overlook, and that condition is mentioned in the Quran. You know, usually when it's a time of crisis, we attend lectures. We turn to religious leaders. And in the middle of something like a genocide, you might hear a lecture on the obligation of salah, the obligation of hijab, the prohibition of certain types of music. And you listen to this and you think to yourself that, wow, these people are so out of touch. You're speaking about hijab in the middle of a genocide. You're speaking about salah in the middle of a genocide. You're speaking about halal and haram in the middle of a genocide. See, we think that these things are not important variables in our quest for victory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 120, what does He say? He says, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. Allah says, if you are patient and you have taqwa, you know, taqwa is a fancy word which essentially means doing your wajibat and avoiding the muharramat. Being God conscious means that you obey Allah. وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. Allah says, if you are patient, if you have patience and piety, the scheming and the plotting of your enemies will not harm you in the least. One of the most important factors, one of the most important conditions for us as a community to be worthy of Allah's support and His help is taqwa. You know, sometimes we have more faith in our activism than we have in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think that it's the activism, it's the boycotts, the protests, that is what's going to make a difference. No one is denying that type of activism is important. But there is a very, very important variable in this equation. And that variable is the extent of your obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He highlights here that in addition to your preparedness, in addition to planning, putting pressure in the form of protests and boycotts and lobbying, that has its place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. Plan, use everything at your disposal to resist, to fight against your enemies. But do not underestimate the importance of taqwa in eliciting that divine support. Now, the question is, if we demonstrate piety in moments of crisis, if we think to ourselves, okay, what do we need to change within ourselves to be people who are more obedient to Allah? Whether it's our prayers, the way that we conduct ourselves with our community members, we have to look. If we are abandoning certain wajibat, we have to fulfill those obligations. The promise of God's support will arrive. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرُكُمْ. Now, when Allah helps, how does He help? What does divine support look like? Because when Allah says, if you support me, I will support you, the question is, oh Allah, how are you going to support the believers? What are you going to give them in the form of support? I'll share with you six ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps the mu'mineen in times of difficulty and in the face of adversity. Number one, when you look at the Quran, the first way that Allah helps mu'mineen is نزول السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fath, we have a chapter in the Quran known as the chapter of victory. Surah Al-Fath. In Surah Al-Fath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord, is always supporting you. وَيَنْصُرَكَ اللَّهُ نَصْرًا عَزِيزًا. Allah will grant you a mighty victory. Now, how does Allah grant victory? How does He help His Prophet and the believers? هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. You know, when you are standing in the battlefields and your life is at risk, when you are confronted with formidable enemies, hearts usually quiver. There is that fear factor. And we mentioned that the most important factor after taqwa and sabr in achieving victory is morale. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He says, I send down tranquility into the hearts of the believers. You know, we call these the intangibles. You can see numbers in the battlefield. You can see the weaponry. You can see the technology. But what you can't see, the intangible, is what? Sakina. You might have the most powerful weapons, but your heart is in turmoil. That's what we saw in Badr. In Badr, Abu Sufyan had the bigger guns. But who had the more tranquil hearts? The Prophet and his followers. So one of the ways in which Allah helps mu'mineen is that He gives them the most powerful weapon. And that is, in times where normal people are shaking in fear, I'm going to make sure that your hearts are tranquil, that you're calm. Because when you're calm, you don't make mistakes. You're very level-headed. هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِيمَانًا مَعْ إِيمَانِهِمْ. They already have iman in their hearts. And that tranquility, it increases, it elevates the already existing faith that they have in their hearts. Their iman becomes stronger in those battlefields. So this is the first way in which Allah helps the believers. He calms their hearts in the face of insurmountable odds. And that is a very, very important element, a very important factor in achieving victory. Number two, قَذْفُ الرُّعْبِ فِي قُلُوبِ الْأَعْدَاءِ. The second thing that Allah does, the second way that He helps the believers is that He puts terror and fear in the hearts of the enemies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 151, Allah says, سَنُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الرُّعْبِ. Allah says, I will cast fear in the hearts of the concealers of truth. You know, the word kuffar is probably the most mistranslated term in the entire Islamic tradition. You read kuffar and you think that, okay, that this applies to my neighbor Bob and Jennifer and Stacy. No. Kuffar refer, especially in the Quran, it has a very specific meaning. This is referring to the concealers of truth, the manipulators. Because even, you know, in classical Arabic, a farmer is called a kafir, because a farmer conceals the seeds in the earth. So these are the people who are manipulating the narrative. These are not innocent people. These are not the victims. No, these are a'immatul kufr. Allah says, I help the believers by making their hearts calm. And the other side, your enemies, I will put fear in their hearts. You know, when you look at someone like Benjamin Netanyahu, this is not someone who has sakina in his heart. He has the backing of the United States of America. He has the most advanced weaponry. But when push comes to shove, he's the first one to run into a bunker. سَنُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الرُّعْبِ. He's terrified. And all it takes is for a Sayyid to show up and they all become terrified. He doesn't have the same weapons that you have. Where does this come from? Allah says, this is from me. Mu'mineen, I bolster their image and their power in the hearts of the enemies. سَنُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الرُّعْبِ. That's number two. Number three is التصرف في النفوس. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does something else. This is a third way in which He helps the believers. There is a subtle form of divine intervention. Now what does Allah do? And this is actually mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Al-Anfal, Surah 8, Ayah 43. When the two armies meet, you know, most of the time, the Muslims are outnumbered. If you look at the history of Islam, the Prophet is outnumbered in Badr. He's outnumbered in Uhud. He's outnumbered in Khandaq. Most of the battles, Rasulullah is outnumbered. The enemies almost always have an advantage in terms of their numbers. So what does Allah Azza wa Jal do? Allah says in Ayah 43, وَإِذْ يُرِيكُمُوهُمْ إِذْ الْتَقَيْتُمْ فِي أَعْيُنِكُمْ قَلِيلًا. Allah says, and when He showed them to you, when you met, as few in your eyes. When the Muslims are confronted with their enemies, Allah says, I make them look few in number. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He intervenes by shaping the perception of the believers in the eyes of the kuffar and vice versa. So Allah helps the mu'mineen when they look at the enemies, even though they might be a huge army, Allah says, I make them look small. I make them look like they're only a few. Why? Because this will give you confidence. And then what does He do? What does He do with the enemies? وَيُقَلِّلُكُمْ فِي أَعْيُنِهِمْ. And he makes your army, you would think that Allah is going to say what? He makes your army look big, but he doesn't. He says, I make your army also look small. When you look at your enemies, Allah is addressing the mu'mineen. When you look at your enemies, they appear to be few in number, because this will give you confidence that we can manage this. When your enemies look at you, they see you as few in number. How is that an advantage for the believers? It's an advantage because Allah wants your enemies to underestimate you. And when they underestimate you, they make strategic mistakes. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps his, how he helps the Prophet and the believers. And we're seeing it today. The most powerful armies in the world, they're not able to handle these, as they call these, non-state actors. Right? They're powerless. So this is a third way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps the believers. Number four, تَثْبِيتُ الْأَقْدَامِ. We alluded to this last night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives steadfastness. Tathbeetul aqdam means a type of resilience. You know, it's human nature to cling to life. It's instinctual. When there's a danger, people retreat. Because it's in our nature to self-preserve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, I make them very firm. Now what does Allah do to the heart of a mu'min when they are facing their enemies? You know, if you read Imam Zain al-Abidin's dua, al-dua li ahli al-thughur, Imam talks about how the Imam prays to Allah saying, oh Allah, when they are fighting your enemies at the borders, take away from their heart the love of this world. Because what makes you hesitant to fight is you have all of these attachments. Worldly attachments, family attachments. But in that moment, when you are confronted with your enemies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has His ways. He makes you forget about all of the things that will make you cling to this life. And like a magnet, you are pulled to the other side. You do something that is really against the nature of a person, because we cling to life. Allah says, I will make you steadfast. You know, this was the dua of the army of Talut. You know, we're familiar with the story of Talut in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah. King Saul is mentioned in the Quran. This was the battle between David and Goliath. You know, Dawood alayhi salam, he wasn't always a king. He is the king who was once a soldier. He was a soldier in the army of Talut. And the Quran goes into details about how He trains this army and how He filters out the army, because He only wants the elite, those who don't have any discipline. He doesn't want them to be part of the army. You know, and they're tested with the drinking of the water. In any case, the last group that remained, because it was a massive army, there was a weeding out process until Talut ends up with 313 fighters. And as they're about to confront the mighty army of Goliath, Allah quotes the dua of the elites, the soldiers, the final, the cream of the crop. What do they say? رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. Oh Allah, pour upon us patience. We're the elite army, but we still need you. We need you to give us patience. And we need you to make our feet firm. We need that steadfastness. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. So that's the fourth way in which Allah helps the believers. A fifth way, and we mentioned this last night, إِنْزَالُ الْمَلَائِكَ. Allah, He sends down angels. And if you listen to the statements of our brothers who fight on the front lines, whether it's against Daesh or the Zionists, there are many stories of things that these brothers have witnessed that just cannot be explained. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anfal, Surah 8, Ayah 12, He says, Allah says to the angels, I'm with you. فَثَبِّتُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The battle of Badr, Allah says to the angels, I'm with you. Go down and strengthen the hearts of the mu'mineen. You know, the malaika in the Quran, they are God's hidden army. They play a role in this physical world. So there's an interaction now between the material world and the angelic world. They participate in the fighting, but they also do what? They fortify the hearts of the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, there's one night out of the year where we all celebrate the descent of angels. Laylatul Qadr. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر. But the angels don't only descend on Laylatul Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Fussilat, He says what?
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا.
Malaika, they don't just descend on Laylatul Qadr. They do. But there are other things that can cause the angels to descend. And that is if a person says, my Lord is Allah. And they are steadfast. What happens?
تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ.
You have the ability to attract the angels in the heavens. Because of your aqidah, because of your belief, because of your steadfastness. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. We don't know how many. Because each person has a different spiritual capacity. Maybe for one mu'min, one angel comes to back him, to support and fortify his heart. Maybe for another mu'min, it's two. Maybe for another mu'min, it's ten. Maybe it's thousands. Maybe it's tens of thousands. Everything is measured. Now, what do these angels do? They come with a message. And these angels, you know, they don't come with, you know, verbal messages that you might get it or you might not. There's no translators required. Because they're communicating a message that has a profound effect on your soul. And what is the message? أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't be afraid. And don't grieve. You know, khawf and huzn. There's no fear. Don't fear and don't grieve. Fear is usually associated with anxiety about what is to come. And grief is the anxiety and the pain attached to things in the past. Those angels descend and they say, do not fear and do not grieve. Just be in the moment, as a soldier of God. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُعَدُونَ. I ask you, brothers and sisters, if you have this support, is there any army in the world that can defeat you? Do you think the IDF can beat this? You think any military power in the world can defeat an army who have hearts that are being whispered into by malaika saying, Allah takhaf wa la tahzanu? Is it possible? You can't be in an army like that. The sixth way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps the believers is through natural phenomenons like rain and wind. You know, sometimes we forget that it's not just the angels that are the soldiers of God. Nature itself is among the soldiers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab, you know, we're all familiar with the Battle of Khandaq. You know, who was the hero in the Battle of Khandaq? Amir al-Mu'mineen. The Quran tells us that there is another reason why the Muslims were victorious in Khandaq. Of course, there's no doubt, ضربت علي يوم الخندق أفضل من عبادة الثقلين. We're in agreement that Ali ibn Abi Talib, his sword saved Islam, period. In the battles of Islam, Ali's heroics, and then everything else is footnotes. Allah tells us in Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah number 9, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم. O you who believe, remember Allah's favor upon you. إذ جاءتكم جنود. Remember when an army came, Abu Sufyan with 10,000 soldiers, Ahzab, Jewish tribes, Bedouin tribes, Quraysh. They had the best weapons. They descended upon Medina. They besieged Medina. Allah says, do you remember when that army came? And what did Allah do? فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا. Allah says, I sent a wind. I sent a windstorm. وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. I sent an army that you could not see, reference to the angels, but I also sent a storm. They retreated for two reasons, because Ali broke their spirit and a sandstorm uprooted all of their tents and they went back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes he helps the believers by doing what? By sending a natural disaster to defeat the enemies. Now the question is, okay, the believers are receiving all of this support. What's the goal? What are we trying to achieve? What are we aiming for as a community? The answer is at the end of Dua al-Iftitah. Because the ultimate victory, my dear brothers and sisters, the ultimate victory will be realized with the emergence of the 12th Imam of Ahlul Bayt, Al-Imam Sahib Al-Asr wa Al-Zaman. Laba sallu ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. What do we recite in Dua Al-Iftitah at the end? Because this is the goal. Everything that we do is to achieve the goal that is mentioned in Dua Al-Iftitah. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة. What are we saying in this dua? Oh Allah, we yearn. We are yearning for something. And we are yearning for a specific government. As mu'mineen, are we yearning for a government that's run by the Democrats? Is this what we're yearning for? Are we yearning for a government that is run by the Republicans? We're not even yearning for a government that's run by a third party. The reality is, in Zamanul Ghaiba, we're just trying to do damage control. In Dua al-Iftitah, what do we say? Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema. We are yearning for a government that gives dignity to the people.
دولة كريمة. And this government, and this is a part of our aqeedah, we should not think for a moment that if a Democrat, if a Republican, if a Green Party candidate comes to power, that is dawlatun karima, and that will be where we will find our prosperity. No. Our prosperity is under one type of government, and that is the government of Imam al-Mahdi, which is a government that is predicated on the principle of human dignity. A government that really believes in human dignity. تُعِزُّ بِهَا الْإِسْلَامَ وَأَهْلَهُ. The only ideology in the world that can truly preserve the dignity of insan is Islam. وَتُذِلُّ بِهَا النِّفَاقَ وَأَهْلَهُ. This is a government that will elevate Islam, because Islam will give dignity to people. And it's a government that will humiliate nifaq. Do you know what nifaq is? Nifaq is like Anthony Blinken. Nifaq are all of these politicians who use all of this flowery language about human rights, that we care about innocent civilians. It's all rhetoric. They say one thing and they do another. The government of Imam al-Hujjah, that is the government of human dignity. And do you know what that looks like? It looks like the following. Ali ibn Abi Talib established dawlatan karima. It's a type of government where Ali is walking and there is a Christian man begging. An old Christian man is begging. And Ali says, "What is this?" And they say to him, "Ya Ali, he's a Christian. He's not a Muslim. He's not a part of our community." The Imam said, "I didn't ask you who is this. I asked you what is this. You took advantage of him when he was young. You exploited him when he was young. And now you abandon him in his old age. Give him a stipend from Baytul Mal." That is dawlatan karima. Not what we have today. Is what Rasulullah established in Medina, where he's sitting and there's a casket that goes by and the Prophet stands. And they say, "Ya Rasulullah, this was a Jew." And the Prophet says, but is it not a human soul?" That is dawlatan karima. Dawlatan karima is a woman who comes to the Prophet complaining about the abuse that she's facing in her marriage. And Allah reveals Surah Al-Mujadila. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوْرَكُمَا. This is what we are working towards. And it will only happen under divine leadership. I have 5 minutes left. I just want to quickly go over the qualities that are needed to help build this noble, honorable government. You know, brothers and sisters, Imam Sahib al-Zaman, ajallallahu ta'ala faraja, his ashab, his inner circle, his companions, they're not going to fall from the sky. They're going to come from the womb of this ummah. They're going to be you, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. They're going to come from within the ummah. Now, what are the qualities of these people? The 313 who are basically the rulers and the administrators of his global government. What are their qualities? These are going to be the nation builders. And as Muslims, we have to stop waiting for someone to come and save us. The Democrats are not going to save you. The Republicans are not going to save you. And let me tell you this, even the Green Party is not going to save you. You have to save yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given you dignity. You are the leaders. You are the ones who are going to build nations. How does, you know, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he describes the qualities of these companions who are around Imam al-Mahdi. What does he say? كلهم ليوثٌ قد خرجوا من غاباتهم مثل الزبر الحديد. That these people who are around the network of Imam al-Mahdi, his helpers, they are like lions who have emerged from the jungles. They're lions. Meaning what? They don't have an inferiority complex. They are not the influenced. They are the influencers, not the loser ones online, the real ones. They are the ones who have influence. They are the ones who shape and mend culture. And they are like pieces of iron. They do not bend. They do not compromise. And they are incredibly determined. لَوْ أَنَّهُمْ هَمُّوا بِإِزَالَةِ الْجِبَالَ الرَّوَاسِي لَأَزَالُوهَا عَنْ مَوَاضِعِهَا. If they resolved to move towering mountains, mountains, they do it. Because nothing is impossible for them. Ordinary people, this is too difficult. This is too challenging. For them, they are so determined because they know وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. They're connected to Allah. فَهُمُ الَّذِينَ وَحَّدُوا اللَّهَ تَعَالَى حَقَّ تَوْحِيدِ. These are the people who truly profess the oneness of God. See, tawheed is not just an idea. It's a way of life. And one of the most important aspects of tawheed is that honor and dignity come from Him. They're not going to come from a political party. لِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Protection comes from God, honor comes from God, and the most important thing is to obey God because everything is in His hands. That's tawheed. Now you think, when you think of a nation builder, you think of what they do during the day. Community organizing, press conference, meeting this person and that person. But look at what Amir al-Mu'mineen says about the ashab of Imam al-Mahdi. لَهُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ أَصْوَاتٌ كَأَصْوَاتِ الثَّوَاكِلِ حُزْنًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. At night, they stand before Allah and they cry. The way that a mother cries when she grieves over her lost child. They're strong, but they're not harsh. They have very soft hearts. To be a nation builder, you have to first build this. They invest a lot of time in building their spirituality. You know, there's a reason why tahajjud was wajib upon the Prophet. You want to build humanity, you have to build your own humanity. And that happens through ibadah, that happens through dua. قوام الليل. They stay awake at night in worship. They really enjoy alone time with Allah. صوام النهار. They have a spiritual regiment. During the day they fast, at night they worship. Because spirituality goes hand in hand with their activism. كأنما رباهم أب واحد وأم واحدة. Even though they come from different parts of the world, they're not related, but it's as if they were raised by one mother and one father. They have shared values. They have different biological parents, but their spiritual parents and guardians are Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Hassan, and Hussein. It's like they come from one family. قلوبهم مجتمعة بالمحبة والنصيحة. Their hearts are united in love. They actually love each other. It's not fake. They actually care about each other. And when the leadership has benevolence and compassion, it trickles down to the rest of the people. It's based on love and compassion. And then the Imam ends with this. أَلَا وَإِنِّي لَأَعْرِفُ أَسْمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْصَارَهُمْ Ali ibn Abi Talib, he says that these people are so dear to me that I know all of their names and I know the cities that they hail from. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among them, to make us among their helpers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen us, to make us worthy of His help. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ الطَّيِّبِينَ الطَّاهِرِينَ
Thank you, Sheikh, for that.